allowing us to have restroom breaks.
So now what we're going to do is we're going to have a board conversation about the firms, and then we'll vote afterwards. So the way the process is, we'll have this, and then when we're done with the conversation, I'm going to have everyone get a piece of paper, and on Johanna can give us a little post-it note, and we'll just write on it what our top choice is, and then if we get a majority, we get a majority. If we don't, we'll just keep going with it. So let's just have some conversation. So who wants to start? And we'll go around carousel fashion, so it doesn't matter who starts, but who wants to start off? God, you're so quiet.
I'll go first. Okay, the clearly, since it's the first time ever, the stakeholder input part is like super important to me. And each one of the groups are professionals; they do that. My vote will be really skewed towards the group that I believe and trust will do the best job of the community outreach.
And do you want to elaborate on anything else on that?
Just that.
That's just that? Okay, it's our little voting. This is our voting.
Well, what up?
Jim?
Yeah, I'm going to ask the board, seeing as there's people from a diverse group here, including you, Bob, your experiences with any of these firms, and maybe you have something to contribute from your own perspective, I'd certainly be appreciative of hearing that. So
I don't think anyone has ever had.
Well, I can give a Marisa. Little bit of feedback. So the last time we hired a superintendent in Eastside, the firm handled everything, and the board and the firm were just the only people that talked. And coming from the outside of that, I didn't like it, right? So just all of a sudden it was like, okay, here's your superintendent, you know? And so that was just the 6 years ago. So all of these firms don't seem like they're going to be that way. So that's a good thing. And so that's what I was thinking of as having been through an experience where the firm was just chosen and then the board just handed the superintendent over. That didn't feel right. And so I'm glad that we're all talking about it right now and trying to find the firm that we think is going to meet the needs of everybody, not just the board.
Leela.
One thing that was really, most of them have a lot of the same things that they're doing. They're pretty similar. All mm-hmm. of them sound really good. But one thing that's dear to my heart, besides community involvement, every stakeholder group, including, and I think leadership associates at the students, they meet with the students. And one thing that's near and dear to my heart is that college, after elementary, that college, you know, that high school and college readiness is really big. Anybody who has ever worked with me, so and their experience with those folks that do that kind of work is really beneficial. So they talked about that how important the high school and college experience, and I would want somebody to have that vision to make that connection for our students, because they don't just stop at the elementary level; they move on. But I felt like all of them had pretty much similar services that they offer. They all sound really like winners to me, pretty good.
I'll go at the end here. So anyone else on just the concepts of what you're looking for or what we should look for as a district? Not necessarily the firms per se, but
well, I'm gonna mirror what a lot of people said, you know, inclusivity, and I some of my questions were geared toward the whole transparency issue, right? How do you get the outreach to the stakeholders? Mm-hmm. How do you make sure that the community and the stakeholders are comfortable and confident that their input has been included in the overall criteria? Because right, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the criteria, not from just a board perspective by any means. Mm-hmm. Right? Very important for our employee groups to feel comfortable working with whatever superintendent that we end up with. So having their input is very important. And experience of the search firm in being able to match, and I think somebody made a good point on the board, maybe it was you, Marisa, on the diversity of our schools, right? We have a pretty unique group. Okay, it was Leela, sorry. Very unique set of schools and their ability to work with K-12 candidates that can meet that what I believe is a pretty strict criteria of going from the affluent, high-performing to the not-so-affluent. Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? So for me, it's really important, the community, you know, I'm the person who came on the board and said, communication, community, right? That's really important for me. That's where I come from. So it's very important for me, and I want more stakeholder outreach rather than less. So that's why I kept asking, you know, like, can you give us more day? Can you give us more days? So there were a few firms that gave a lot of days and some who gave fewer. And then the other thing that's really important is for me, at least, to have confidence in the person who's running the search, right? You can have a template, and you can have people sell the template, but when I saw those people, I thought, well, okay, who do I feel comfortable with as a person doing this search that they're going to be customizing it to us and not just bringing us something that they want? So that's important. And the third thing is that they have some California experience, and particularly the Bay Area. We are very unique here. I mean, they mentioned it, cost of living. I mean, we're unique, so I want to choose a firm that understands who we are here in Santa Clara County and who's had experience in Santa Clara County. So that's my thought process. Anyone else have any conversation? No?
I'm moving that we vote.
Okay.
I'm just curious. Bob, you have any input?
Leo's like, just get it. Are we going to hear from the community at all? Or that's why they're here. Did they?
Yes.
Did anybody put a card to speak?
Did anyone put a turn no? card? Okay. No. Because we had public comment before. Bob?
So the only thing I have to add. Well, everything that you folks have said. I just would hope that we look at a firm that has the ability to deliver everything they said, that they have enough staff, that they come so that they're not calling upon the district staff to do a lot of the work. And in looking at these firms, they all look, and I've seen them all, the work that they have done. So they look like they could do that, but I would really hope that that you've read all the material that they sent, because when you talk about 4 days versus two out in the community, that's a lot of work that somebody's going to have to do, and if they don't come with the staff to do that, that really goes to the district staff to do that, is all.
Oh, and the one thing I just had to say about the contract, so we're doing two things tonight here. Because we have to approve contracts in open session on a regularly scheduled board meeting. That's why we have to both approve the search firm and the contract for the search firm. But I will say one thing about the contract is that whatever contract we approve, it's an up-to contract, which means that if we want to add more services, don't feel like, oh my God, this is all we have is what's in the contract. We can always expand it out. Because some of them give optional services, some of them don't. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're each going to write down one firm's name, and then we will see if we get a majority. So. Dun, 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 dun. And we'll give them to Vanna. And whoever we choose, by the way, tonight, we will start the process very quickly, so you're going to see a quick turnaround within a week or two of us really starting to figure out what we want to do for the process. Actually, no, we didn't put our names on it. I don't know if it doesn't matter.
I'll ask later.
You'll ask later, okay.
Yeah, when we get to the final.
Leadership.
Okay, three for leadership.
Two for HYA.
It's going to be leadership. Okay, so we can inform them that it's going to be leadership.
Leadership was the last one.
Leadership was the last one. And they were all great firms, so I'm happy with all of them, right? Leadership will be great. So the one other thing I'm... before she continues. The one other thing I wanted to do, and I don't know if I can do this now as an agenda item since it's not agendized, is I want a board subcommittee of two of us, me and one other person, who can basically get together really quickly with the firm and talk about the process, because we're going to need to do that quickly. And so it needs to be someone who's really going to be able to spend some time with me really focusing on talking with the firm and developing the process. And then, of course, the board will decide. But this is just an early thing. So do I have a... So it's going to be a board ad hoc subcommittee.
Right. We could add that as a motion on the item.
Yep. So that's going to be... So my motion is that we Well, actually, I usually don't make a motion.
So
someone else should make a motion.
I need to make a motion that we accept leadership as the vendor of choice.
Leadership Associates.
Leadership Associates, and accept their contract.
No.
No, that wasn't an actual vote.
No, that wasn't a vote. That was just a...
Okay.
We had an actual vote. We had a motion, yeah.
So that needs to be a motion. So to officially accept leadership as the Leadership Associates as the vendor of choice and to accept their contract and to instruct the chair, the president, to put together an ad hoc committee of two to do preliminary work with the firm.
So do I have a second?
I have a second.
Marie says a second. So, what was I going to say? Just slipped my mind.
Yes.
So now we have to make a motion and vote. So, right? So that was not a vote. That was not a vote. That was just a...
This was the motion.
He said that was
a
motion.
No, no. What I'm saying is the pink sheets that we gave was not the vote.
That's why I made a motion of...
Correct. So we have a motion on the floor to accept Leadership Associates as our vendor of choice, to accept the contract of Leadership Associates with the provision that we can, of course, change it depending on what we want from them, and to have an ad hoc subcommittee set up by myself and one other person to talk to them about the process. And the one thing I will say just tangentially is that as we move forward with the stakeholder process, all of the board members are going to be involved with going out with the stakeholder group. So it's not the case we're only going to have this subcommittee do that. This is just the initial step, okay? So, preliminary step. So, seeing that, any other conversation about that? No. Okay, let's vote. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. You can go let them know that they are the choice, and we want to meet with them fast. Do you want me to ask for volunteers for the ad hoc subcommittee right now so that we can... Can I do that? Okay, so who would like to work with me on the subcommittee who has time to spend?
I clearly have enough time to spend, so I'd love to do it, and okay. I have a little bit of experience.
Chris is great. So Chris and I will be working on the ad hoc subcommittee to determine the process and for stakeholder outreach and all this kind of stuff. Okay, so we are done with that. We need to wait for Johanna to come back. Before we can proceed to the rest of the items, right? Well, can we proceed without her?
So, if I could be so bold to take a point of personal privilege and thank my colleagues for making that a very smooth process and for reading through all the information. I was sitting on the committee with Bonnie to go through the contracts, and I think, you know, this was really well done and very efficient. So I appreciate the cooperation with the...
I second that. And this is great because, you know, considering that this is the first time we've ever done that, I thought, wow, this was fast. It's only 7:45. So I'm excited about the process, and I hope that everyone else is excited about it as well. Can we do matters from the public without Johanna being back?
As long as the recorder is on.
Is the recorder on?
Yeah.
It's on? Okay. So we're going to go back and do matters of the public, because remember we changed the order of our agenda. So item 3.1, comments from the California School Employees Association, Chapter 432. President, welcome, Pauline. Happy New Year.
Short and sweet.
So we're not doing two...
No, because remember we changed 2, 3, 2, 4. We moved it down. So Johanna, we're doing... oh, okay. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Yes. Yes. So basically, thank you very much. We are looking forward to working with you. Trustee Corpus and I are on the ad hoc subcommittee to talk with you both about our process. Okay. So we will be in touch with you and determine things moving forward. Did you have any questions for us?
I just want to thank you guys so much for giving us this honor and opportunity.
Yes. Yeah, we're looking forward to working with you both. Will you be in touch?
All right, thank you.
You don't have to wait for the rest of the meeting. You can if you want to.
Remember those days.
Eric doesn't say, I don't want to do this. Thank you, Eric. Thanks, Fred. And Eric or Fred, is there a primary contact person, or are you guys both Eric?
We're going to make it easy. One-stop shopping.
Great. Eric, you're the man.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, Pauline. Comments from the CSEA president. Pauline.
Good evening. Pauline Benton, President, CSEA Evergreen Chapter 432. Happy New Year. I hope everyone enjoyed the holidays. Welcome, Interim Superintendent Nunez. I hope your time with us is rewarding and productive. On tonight's agenda for the board's approval is the MOU between the district and CSEA regarding the district's participation in the Classified Employee Summer Assistance Program for 2019-2020. The deferred pay and matching funds paid out during the summer recess in 2020 will help classified families cover their expenses. Evergreen is one of the few districts in the area who have agreed to participate in this program. Yay.
Awesome. Thank you, Pauline.
May this MOU be the beginning of a trend of future agreements that supports classified staff as they should be supported and helps attract and retain qualified classified employees. I read a quote that suggests to think of the new year like a blank book. Let each of us take a pen in our hand and together write a great story for this district. Thank you.
Wow, very poetic. Thank you. Okay, item 3.2, comments from the ETA, Evergreen Teachers Association. Brian? Yes.
Good evening, board. Happy New Year. Exciting time to start 2019. Welcome to Interim Superintendent Bob Nunes. Props for setting up a meeting with Suzanne and I on Monday, I think it was, to talk about the grievance, and props to the board to be inviting us into closed session to deal with that. Also working on a scheduling a regular monthly meeting, so haven't quite gotten that done, but nice to hit the ground running. Looking forward to the year. We've got some things we need to take care of, obviously that grievance that we talked about, so thank you again. We've got the issue of the independent study, the demand of bargain, we're still working through that, so that's important. I'm never sure when the board is informed of things, but we do have an unfair practice charge that we filed with PERB for the actions of a board member in particular, so that's a concern. But really looking forward to, and I was going to make a comment, and I don't know if it was the search firm that was chosen or one of the other ones, but I did love the comment about the importance of a new superintendent coming into a situation where there is labor peace. Some of you know I've been talking about it for feels like my whole career. We haven't had it for pretty much this decade, so, and it is 2019, but I'm absolutely glad that we can, everybody can, while we're always focused on the job at hand, we can let go of that tension of, oh my goodness, where are we in negotiations? So, Happy New Year.
Thank you, Brian. We don't have any comments from the public. All right, so moving on, we have our consent items. Yes.
So I will read them.
Jim.
For consideration, it's 4.1, approval of the board minutes from December 13th, 2018. 4.2, approval of board special meeting minutes of December 18th, 2018. 4.3, approval of personnel board report. 4.4, ratification of contracts. 4.5, ratification of December warrant list. 4.6, ratification of facilities use agreements. 4.7, acceptance of the Williams quarterly report. And so moved to...
Do we have a second?
Approved consent. First of all, any items needed to be taken off consent?
No.
From the public or from the board?
Seeing none. Do we have a second? We need a second.
Second.
Second by Chris. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. On to our reports, and I thank you for sitting so long and waiting. I appreciate that you've been here since 5:30. So now we have 5.1, the 2017-18 audit report, followed by, and I believe you're doing the Measure M bond also, right? Okay. Welcome.
I'm just going to introduce our auditor and step aside.
Thank you.
I've read the audit report, but I was not here for that. That was Mary's good work and the good folks in finance and their hard work in getting the auditors in. So.
Thank you.
Good evening, board. Good evening. Superintendent Bob. These are the annual financial statements of the district. Scope of the audit is to ensure the financial statements is fairly stated. It is a process that actually is a continuous process. It starts out at the beginning of the year. We go out to the sites. We take a look at your student body accounting, your attendance accounting. We come in during the interim phase. In which we take a look at your controls, the manner that you process receipts, the manner that you process disbursements, and the manner that you process payroll. We come back at final, we confirm the balances are reported in the financial statements. You are a local government, you receive federal and state funding, so we also do additional compliance testing with respect to those programs. And we issue opinion on these financial statements and the internal controls as it relates to compliance or as it relates to the financial statements. We are issuing a clean opinion. We issued a clean opinion on the financial statements, meaning that the financial statements are fairly stated. We had no exceptions with respect to federal compliance. We had a minor exception with respect to the state compliance. It is a requirement that the state just ask us to report even smaller numbers in there with respect to unduplicated count over there. The district did correct some of the reporting requirements in there. And we do have a comment about, you know, this is a common thing that is going on in Santa Clara County, which is declining enrollment. We are auditing many, we audit many of the districts. We're coming back to many of the governing boards and we're letting them know that it's becoming a little bit of a concern for many of them with respect to the budgeting procedures. Specifically, 3% reserves. These are, while it may not be clearly defined in the Ed Code, that these 3% reserves are really for very urgent and emergency situations. They should not be used to balance the budget. But we're seeing some patterns here and there in which people, or in which some of these districts are taking a second look at these reserves and their multi-year projection. So we do have a comment about that in the audit report. It is an audit standard, and we are required to report that in the financial statements. And that concludes my presentation with respect to the financial statements. And the next item on the agenda would probably be the bond
report. Hold on a second. Let me see if anyone has any questions about the audit report. Does anyone have any questions about the audit report?
Yeah, to the point that you just made, what is that comment and how does it compare to other districts that you have audited?
As it stands, Evergreen, when you look at the multi-year projections and when you look at the declining enrollment projections, and these are projections we cannot really say for sure that they're going to happen. Evergreen is probably one of the toughest one of them all. I'm not sure it's the area around here, how people are moving in and moving out, development and all of that has a significant impact. In some instances, we come back and we do verbal communication. In many instances, we come back and we do written communication. County office is also involved in that stuff as well. They are in touch with many of those districts, probably you as well. Yeah, it is happening all over the place. It started out in this area in San Jose. Now it's even hitting West San Jose. It's all over the place. We think it's property taxes and the high prices. People are inclined not to move, but the kids are graduating and moving out. We audit school districts in the East Bay, around Dublin and San Ramon. Those guys are experiencing quite a bit of some an increase in their enrollment. So I'm not sure why, but it's something that everyone should be paying attention to.
Bob, did you have a comment?
Yes, just even though I've only been here a few days, I think what you're trying to say is that the board really has to take a look at not only the audit itself, but about the enrollment, the projection for those enrollments, and that's really what the board is going to be doing in February, in its February meeting.
Yes.
With its demographer and such, because it's the projections with regard to enrollment and the impact with regard to its budget and its projection for the next 3 years that we have to be dealing with the county office and such. And I think that really is an important point. But we're looking forward to doing that, at least I'm looking forward to doing that in the next board meeting.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
So I just have a quick question, which is that we had positive certification, obviously, right? So it wasn't the issue. I know there's some surrounding districts that has qualified now. So from your perspective, from the audit report, we do have still positive certification, but this is just an ongoing problem that we need to look at, right?
That's correct.
Kind of what you're saying.
It is over the next 3 years.
Correct, but it's not that we have this immediate qualified certification right now. That's a problem. Right. Okay. Anyone else have a question? None? Okay. The Measure M?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, Measure M, this is an audit required by law. The audit essentially is a two-section, ensuring that the money is segregated, it's not blended with district money, it's separately accounted for. In fact, the district has a separate county controller account, separate fund for these types of transactions, making sure whenever an issuance is of bonds is made, the deposits are deposited into that fund, and essentially it's segregated. The second component of the audit is to ensure that the expenses are in compliance with the ballot language, with what the voters had voted on. So we test a rather large sample with respect to the expenses. It's a combination of vendor-related, construction-related, payroll-related, benefit-related, whatever that was charged to the program. Then confirming the amounts that are reported on the financial statements, making sure your bond proceeds and all of that were properly accounted for. And again, we had no exceptions with respect to the bond financial statements, and we issued a clean opinion. They call it a performance audit, which is basically a compliance audit. So we issued a clean opinion on the performance audit and a clean opinion on the financial statements as well.
Any questions on the Measure M? When is the next time that you come to give us the next audit? Was it once a year?
Yeah, so we do. We typically do two of them, one at the initiation and one at the conclusion. This is the conclusion of the 2018.
Okay.
We will probably be coming back. We think we did it in April last year. We're going to come back after the demographer and all that good stuff. We'll come back in April.
Okay.
We'll meet with you as well.
Okay. Is there any other question for our auditor? Thank you so much for all your time and good work, and I'm glad we have a clean bill of health here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Do we have to, this is just information or is this an action item?
Just
an information item. It's not an action item. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. So now we're going back to item 2.3, which is the approval of Evergreen School District and California School Employee Association Memorandum of Understanding Classified Employee Summer Assistance Program 2019-20. Carol.
All right. Good evening, Board. You have in front of you, you have seen that the Memo of Understanding that we worked with CSEA in electing, the district electing, to participate in the Classified Summer Assistance Program. So this is the MOU that is signed by ourselves and CSEA for your approval.
Do I have a motion to approve? Motion by Jim. Second. Leela? Conversation? Question? Jim, did you have a question?
Good thing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carol. Any conversation? Nothing? Okay.
No, I think it's going to help make us more competitive and put them more in line with other groups in the district. So I think it's a good thing to do.
Well, let's just hope that we're looking forward to the state participating in this program.
Yes.
Fully, wholly, like they said.
Do you have any sense, Carol? Do you have any sense of how many people want to participate? Because you haven't really given it to them, right? Yet, Pauline, do you have a sense of how many people?
Like I said, within our area, not many districts are agreeing to participate. Statewide, CSEA still doesn't have a good feeling yet. It's just gonna depend.
Yeah. Money wise, we're watching out for LA.
Right. Yeah.
LA University. JV. If any single one of them goes in,
right.
The money's gonna go quick.
Yeah.
But
okay.
We'll have to see.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pauline. I hope your staff can make use of this.
Yes.
2.4, approval of the administrative regulation AR 4117.4, certificated personnel, permanent and probationary. Carol?
My feet are tired. They're ready to go. So you have in front of you the AR. It is advised that school districts have a legal, clear process when it comes through the process of dismissal. We have not had that. We've had it in place, but it has changed legally through the Ed Code. So this brings us forward, and it's been approved. It is a clear, needed process if we have to go down that line. So that's why it's in front of you for approval tonight.
And just to let folks know that this is the only AR that's in front of us. I mean, it's not the case that right now it's this particular AR that's in front of us. So do we have a motion?
Wait a minute. Carol, just point out what the difference is, the nuance.
There isn't really A nuance, except this follows the Ed Code, and it's a board approved that the district has their clearly delineated process in place. And this is it. This is the step, step two, step three. That's what needed to be in effect in our district.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Jim, do you have a second? Leela, any questions for Carol about it?
Yes, I just, so this is essentially, so I can understand a little bit better when this is employed. It's when you have a second year probationary, and this is the process at which, if you choose not to renew with the probationary employee, what you, the steps you need to go through. Is that?
Kinda. And if you look at it, it reflects two parts. There's the permanent employee dismissal.
Okay.
Not a non-reelection. It is a dismissal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, non-reelect is different from a dismissal.
So this, when probationary employees, what the district, though this is the steps that you use for a first and second year probationary employee that you choose to go to dismiss, mm-hmm. not that you choose to non-reelect.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so there's a specific difference. Yes. That's the clarification mm-hmm. that I'm trying to
dismissal understand. Is for cause.
Okay, yes, so this is not just that, hey, you're okay.
You're not a match with our district. Yeah. It didn't work out.
Right. This is specifically for dismissal.
Yes.
Okay.
Dismissal for
Thank cost. You for that clarification.
Any other questions? Chris?
We used to do that, or we could do that in the past. This is just cleaning up our...
This is now putting it in line with what the Ed Code says, and that there is a clearly approved district board approved process legally. So we follow these steps, and it's publicized, if you want to make sense. It's making sure it's clean.
Yeah, it's not different from what we did, okay.
I mean, cause is cause, and you can still do that, but this is what now is required, that you have this in place.
Okay. Any other questions? No. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Thank you, Carol.
All right, thank you.
And the 2.5 reimbursement of daily rate for substitute teacher, pay for substitute teacher on January 15th for Marisa Hansen to go to the January budget workshop. Do you want to explain what the item is, Johanna, or the pay?
Yeah, please help me understand.
Right. So in our current handbook or board bylaws, we do not have anything in place to reimburse trustees who would like, for example, would like to attend a budget workshop or a master's in governance. We do pay for the workshops themselves, but in this case, Marisa is a teacher at Silver Creek, so if she wants to attend this, what we're trying to do is, will the board be willing to reimburse Eastside Union for the sub-cost for the day for Marisa.
Can you explain the difference between the sub-cost that she would cost and the, actually we were supposed to, the daily rate, can you explain?
Right.
Can you explain the difference?
This is actually just the daily rate that Eastside is paying, pays the sub for,
they're giving
the
us a discount
for her sub. Mm-hmm. So basically it's just that amount that we're going to reimburse Eastside for that day. For her to attend because someone has to be there for her.
Yeah, it's not my per diem.
Yeah, it's not just her per diem, it's the sub-cost.
And the rationale is that this is basically, just like Masters in Governance, this is a budget workshop that is recommended for board members to attend as part of our job. So it's part of essentially her professional development dollars, essentially.
Yeah, especially if she will be in the Budget Advisory Committee.
Correct. Leela.
How many people do we have on that committee?
I can ask. Is
are you talking about board members?
Yeah.
Board two.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
and Marisa.
Me and Marisa.
You and Marisa.
Okay.
So,
Jim?
The question I'm going to have is, well, from what I recall, and my memory isn't perfect, we've never had a situation like this where we've reimbursed anybody. I respect the fact that you're a teacher, but there's other people who left jobs to attend board meetings and committee meetings and other things like that, and there was never a request to do this. I would be apprehensive to do this on a one-on-one basis without having a policy in place.
So,
Bob?
Yeah.
So, this was presented, this was on the agenda before I got here, so what I am looking at doing is presenting during the budget process. For board members, looking at travel and such for you? What do you have for professional development I know that other school boards, other city councils set aside dollar amounts specifically for elected officials, so that if you have to go to trainings and such, you have a set amount, and see if that's the direction the school board wants to go. At least you can have the discussion.
So I see this as two different things, and maybe we're on the same page, maybe we're not. The reimbursement for per diem, let's say if we went to
CSBA.
CSBA, thank you. It's getting late. CSBA conference and there's hotel costs and mileage and that sort of thing. Reimbursing the board member is one thing. What I see this is reimbursing a third entity for the cost that they incur for one of us. Like, for instance, I'm a teacher as well, but if I was even in private practice, my missing that day, the cost to my company for me being gone, kind of a thing, right? So I hear what you're saying, Bob. I think they're two separate things, paying a third entity versus reimbursing a board member. If I'm not mistaken, this is reimbursing a third entity. And like I said, my concern is it the wish of the board to have a board policy in that regard?
Leila.
Well, I'm not trying to be a martyr or anything, but in light of what our budget has been and the problems that we've had and people we have laid off, I have declined to go to any conferences and workshop. I did not go to the CSBA because I didn't feel personally that our budget should be paying for stuff when we had to vote to lay people off. So that's just my personal opinion right now. I just think with all of the different things that are going on, and since we've never done this before, I don't want to set a precedent where, you know, this is something that we'll be doing forever and ever, and whatever that cost could be, we don't know. It could just get really crazy. So I'm just kind of reluctant. I'm just reluctant about it, especially at this time that we're in as a district.
So I have just a clarification question, which is, do we have to do this at this meeting? Do we have to decide?
It's on the agenda.
We could table it, right?
No,
we could table it. So my question is that this is the first time we will have ever done this, and I think Marisa should go to those things 100%. I agree with Leila that I don't want to set a precedent. You know, if I work in a company, you know, and it costs them $1,000 a day for me, are you going to reimburse me $1,000? I mean, it kind of sets a weird precedent. However, I do understand the purpose of professional development and giving a person professional development dollars. So my question is, can we table this until we talk about that policy and then come back to this as part of that?
I would rather not table it. I would rather have...
So I would...
Okay.
It's really time-dependent. It's time-dependent, though. It's January 15th.
Okay.
So I'm for the sake of getting through this, and I agree with Leila, I'm going to make the motion that we vote on it, and I will tell you right now, I will not support my own motion. Okay? But this way, it's dealt with.
Okay.
Okay? So that is a way that you discuss it. You deal with it. It is on the record that we've discussed it. Now, that doesn't mean it can't come up again, right? It could certainly come up again with more conversation, but for the fact that it's on this agenda, either you vote on it or you table it. So I think address it, we need to vote on it. And so I will move that we accept the reimbursement. That would be my motion.
Do you have a second?
Somebody wants to second it?
No second.
I'll second it for purposes of... I don't usually make the motion, but I'll second it for purpose of conversation, because if it's easier, it's right. Cleaner that way.
So if I can talk to the motion?
You can talk to the motion?
Yes. It was moved and seconded. I will not support my motion. And the reason why is because I think it sets a precedent. There needs to be a wider conversation about this. It needs to include three parts. Costs for the... whatever it is you're attending in the first place, the reimbursement cost to the board member, and if you want to consider it, reimbursement to a third party. So I think that's a much larger conversation that is not being addressed by dealing with this as a one-off. So I will not be supporting my own motion.
Anyone else want to talk to the motion? Chris?
Well, can I say something?
Lisa?
Similarly, at one point when I worked for this district and I wanted to go to an event in the East Side Union High School District, for Evergreen High School when it was going to be open and it didn't have a name yet. I think you might have been there. I asked Eastside, could you pay for my sub costs because I'm a teacher and I'd like to go to your event. And so they did pay for my sub costs so that this district could release me to go to spend 2 days, and for 2 days actually, to do things for Evergreen. So it does happen that sometimes teachers do get released from one district to another, and per my collective bargaining agreement, it says that I can take a personal necessity day. It doesn't say I can use a personal necessity day to go to board things, blah, blah, blah. Would my district try to say I'm violating my contract? Probably not. They understand my responsibilities. But in trying to follow my own collective bargaining agreement, a personal necessity day is outlined with 6 different reasons on when you would use it. And going to a budget workshop isn't one of them. I don't think they're going to tell me I couldn't, but I'm just saying I'm trying to be in line with my collective bargaining agreement that clearly says a personal necessity day is used for these type of things.
I just have a question. I don't know if anyone can answer this, but if you don't get the sub, if we do not approve this, would this... Who would pay for this? You would basically pay
It would come out of my personal necessity. I mean, I did, prior to becoming an elected school board member, I asked my superintendent. I said, if there's events that I need to go to, while I'm teaching, because I'm a school board member, is it legal for one district to pay for my sub costs? And so he went to the attorneys in the East Side Union High School District and said, oh, of course, it happens all the time. So this was prior to me even getting elected, because I wanted to know what were my options, because I don't want it to stop me from going to things. I've been 25 years in a district, so I have days, obviously. I'm not somebody who uses 10 days a year. Mm-hmm. But I use them wisely. I'm responsible in how I use my days. And, if I'm going to be out of the classroom, and I'm going to be at something that's super important like this, I go to this event every year. I have been. But when you're a full-time chapter president like I was, there was no sub for me as a chapter release president. But I've been going to this budget for 6 years, and knowing how important it is, if that needs to be that I use one of my own personal days and bend my own contract, okay, I'll do that. But I'm trying to be in line with my contract. Okay. And after talking to other associations and other teachers that are in a board, this is what they do. So
I think having heard, this is a larger conversation that we need to have, right? So let's just vote on this particular issue today. And whatever happens with this particular issue, Bob, I think it's the will of the board, if I'm not, please correct me, to let's come back and figure out how to deal. Because what I don't want is, I don't want Marissa not to go to something because she has, I really don't. But by the same token, I don't want to set a precedent either. Sure. So I want to figure out a way to, I'm about solving, let's solve the problem. Mm-hmm. And so that we need some time to think about. Sure. So let's talk about this motion.
Can we constrain the approval of this item? Because it, again, it's time sensitive, it's next week. And just keep it to this one event, but then we need to develop a policy. We don't have a policy regarding this. First time it's ever come up. So
right.
The motion is for this one request, which is this one event.
Correct. And the motion could have died by no second.
Correct.
In which case we could have come up with a secondary motion saying, again, just what I said, that let's approve this because it's time sensitive. We must have people who represent the school district at this budget meeting.
Do you want to do a friendly amendment to Jim's motion? Hold on.
The motion is already what's in front of us, which says reimbursement at a daily rate for substitute for January 15th.
No,
specific.
But I think what Chris is, if I'm not mistaken, what Chris is adding is that this is that we are voting on this motion for this one particular event, whereas your motion was for this date. His motion is a little different. His amendment is, we are doing this because it's time sensitive for this date.
For the event versus the date, it's the same thing.
No. Mm. Do you see what I'm saying? I guess no one understands that. All right, so let's just vote on this. Let's just vote on this, and then Bob, please come forward, and we'll figure out a way to deal with this in the future so that we don't have this come up, because we want to accept that people are going to do things, but we don't want to set a precedent, obviously.
Sure.
Okay?
So
there's a motion and a second.
So just you could always come up with a second motion if this doesn't pass.
Right, that's, that was my point.
Okay.
Okay, so there's a motion and a second on the table to approve this as stipulated. All those in favor of Jim's motion signify by raising your hand. All those opposed? 1-4, motion dies. We need a substitute motion. This is a great example of us. We don't need one, but if there's one to have. If there's one to have, Chris, would you like to make a substitute
motion? I'd like to move that we accept the payment of this of substitute for this one time, and that we further look at a policy that would be able to guide us in the future, but it does not guide us in the future if we pass this motion.
That was a little complicated, but
yes,
did you get it, Johanna?
He wants this up, this
He's
one.
Wants to, like it's just an exception. He wants to constrain this as an exceptional situation because of the time sensitivity.
And the importance of the budget.
And the importance of the budget workshop, but that we will develop. You want that to be the other part of your motion or not? That's it. Okay, that's it. I second it. Did you get that, Johanna?
Can we?
Hold on. Yes, yes. Once again. Do you want to repeat it to her so she gets it verbatim?
No, I get it.
You
I
got it.
That.
Okay. Read it back, Johanna. Okay.
I got it.
I have
you have it?
Oh, got
you've
it.
Got shorthand. Leela, you have a question.
Yes. Do we have anybody else from the district that is going to that budget meeting?
Yeah, I'm going.
Okay.
Bob's going. Dan's
okay.
going.
Okay.
Pauline's going.
Mm-hmm.
Suzanne
okay.
is not going. Brian is not going.
But again,
okay. these are not board members, though.
Right.
Yeah. Jim.
So again, we're talking about.
You're a board member.
I'm a board member.
Just want to make it very clear. If I understand your motion, we are voting to reimburse a third party for the their costs in releasing
right.
Marissa to go. It is not the cost of the.
That's
this
right.
It's not the cost of the.
It's not my per diem.
It's not the cost of the budget meeting.
That we're paying for.
It's not mm-hmm. the reimbursement of the board member for any out-of-pocket costs.
No.
This mm-hmm. is the reimbursement of a third party mm-hmm. for their costs by not having Marissa. Excuse me. By not having Marissa in the classroom.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So make sure that we're clear on that.
Correct. And Chris's motion is this is a one-time exception, basically, right? That way it doesn't set a precedent.
Well,
okay?
It does.
No, I mean, it, this is, okay.
For this one time.
For this one time.
It is for this one time, but my concern is that it does set a precedent.
Right. Okay, we have a motion?
No policy.
I forgot who seconded now. Who seconded
you
it?
You did.
I did, okay. I thought so. Okay, all in favor? Opposed? 3-2 motion carries, and Bob, moving forward, we would like to have some kind of discussion
yes.
of the policy, because this is going to come up again, right? Mm-hmm. So we would like to have that. Okay.
It was the same motion.
It wasn't the same motion. Okay, so personnel reports. Any personnel reports? Nothing? Future meetings, February 14th. Valentine's Day meeting. It's going to be interesting. March 14th, April 11th, May 9th, June 13th. The closed item, there's no report out on the closed item. For our next board meeting, just to let people know, the demographer's report will come back as the agenda item for the next meeting. In addition to, I believe, the facility master plan. Is John Diffendorfer coming back
yes.
to present the facility master plan to us?
Is that a presentation or a work session?
He was going to do a presentation on all the work that they've done.
It's going to be a study session.
It's a study session. Okay, so just to let folks know and board members, we're not done yet. Is our next meeting on February 14th is going to have the facilities master plan study session, which will begin early at 5. During regular open session, we will have the demographer's report as well as other topics. All right. Anyone else have anything else to add? No? Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Motion and second. Thank you all for staying here and taking